Suffer a sinner to tell what he knows. One more time, once more, to tell it. That's really the only one who can tell this story of a sinner. The story of Jacob is what we're going to look at this morning. Go back, or go to the book of Genesis, chapter 47. Go there first, Genesis 47. This will be a narrative of the life of Jacob with a few comments here and there. You know, scriptures say, the psalm says, we spend our lives as a tale that is told. And I hope this will be your story. This be is our story. To God be the glory for saving a man like Jacob. Genesis 47, look at verse 9 with me. This is when Joseph brought his old father to Pharaoh in Egypt. Those of you who know the story, this is the end of Jacob's life. Verse 9, Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. Few? 130? Well, they were over. Whether it's 70 or by reason of God-given strength, 40, or 60, 130. Man that is born of woman is a few days in the light of time. That's just nothing to make them. We have those in here in their 70s and even 80s. One man in his 80s. Went like that, didn't it? Old Jacob is recounting his life. Looking back. He's not complaining, mind you. He did enough of that throughout his days. But he's not complaining. He's just stating a fact. That my days are now over. Been few and full of trouble, evil, full of trouble. Man, I started to quote it, didn't finish it, that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. Trouble. Jacob went through a life of trouble. His whole life, you read it, I've been reading through Genesis just for my own benefit. And if you want a blessing, just start reading the life of Jacob. Jacob went through a life of trouble, trials and tribulation. Many of his troubles, if not most of them, were of his own making. Because of his own sinfulness, his own foolishness. And so are ours. There's no getting around that. Some were not. You know, the Lord sent many troubles and trials just to try Jacob. For whatever reason, Jacob had troubles all his life. All his life. Troubles within. That was his biggest trouble. That was the source of all his troubles. Troubles within, troubles without. Troubles at home, And his family? You're talking about family troubles. Read after this, you read the story after this of Jacob blessing his sons. Boy, he had a bunch of rotten boys that gave him nothing but trouble. Troubles abroad, wherever he went. He had trouble. Troubles in his family, troubles with his friends, troubles, like I said, with himself. Because Jacob was a sinful man. We just sang that song. What are we? Sinners. Sinners. That's the source of our trouble. Sinful man. Jacob was a sinful man in a sinful world with sinful family, wives, children, brother, his brother Esau. His father-in-law was a heathen, Laban. So Jacob had troubles. I told you this is just an account of the life of Jacob. See if you can't find yourself here. I hope you're a son of Jacob. But he had nothing but trouble. But here's the good news for Jacob. And for those who just like him. God said, Jacob have I loved. See, you better hope that God elects a people. You better be thankful for sovereign electing grace, sovereign love, that God chose whom He would to love. Because this whole human race is just like Jacob. Some don't know it. And salvation is for God to make you say your name. This is salvation for God Almighty to get hold of you and put your face in the dirt and say, admit it. But you're not worth loving. But here's the good news. God said, Jacob. Jacob? If you'd have known Jacob and Esau, you wouldn't have loved Jacob. You'd have loved Esau. You'd admired Esau. You'd have thought Esau was a good fellow, a fine fellow, but Jacob? But God. You see, He said, Jacob have I loved. Here's the good news. He said, I'm the God of Jacob. Here's the good news. He said, I'm the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, are not concerned. I'm not going to change. If I set my love on you, it'll never change. If I purposed all things concerning you, it doesn't matter what happens to you, what you go through, this purpose, it's all good. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob. His help. I hope you'll realize that after this. That's Psalm, commit that to memory, Psalm 146:5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, for his salvation. Because we're going to see Jacob is worthless. God calls himself by the name God of Jacob more than anything else. Because he's going to get all the glory. Jacob was born a sinner. He was one of twins, Jacob and Esau. He had a brother named Esau who came out first. You know the story? Esau came out first. But Jacob, it says in the story when they were born. Esau came out first, but Jacob, incredibly, from the womb, reached his hand out and grabbed his brother's heel. As if to say, coming forth from the womb, he's saying, mine. Not you, me. be first. That's what happened. And so they called his name Jacob, which means usurper. That name, now listen to this. The name usurper. I looked it up in Webster's dictionary. Usurper means one who seizes illegally on power that doesn't belong to him. One who wants what doesn't belong to him. One who infringes on the rights and property of another. A usurper. Now, this is all of us by nature, by birth. We're born rebels against God. That's right. Usurpers against God. Wanting, demanding. We come out of the womb demanding things. When it's all by grace, it's all a gift. We come out of the womb. And everything that's done for us is going to be a gift. It's not something we deserve. We come out demanding, wanting, seizing what we think is ours by right, mine. And this is one thing, like you'll see in these babies, that makes them so ugly. Doesn't matter how pretty these little girls are. When you see them start exhibiting this nature of Jacob, mine. See somebody else has something they want. Mine. And crawling all over and beating down another child to get what is mine. That's all. Now, we cannot remove that nature from them. They're born with it. But we can sure make it rough enough to where they'll wish they had never said mine. And you better, because your sweet, cute little girls or boys are positively ugly when they exhibit that awful attitude. Break it. That's going to be their salvation in this world. And for us in the spiritual world, going to be our salvation. Salvation's when somebody gets you down. And that somebody's going to be your Lord. Gets you down. Shows you what you are. Jacob grows up. He's born one of twins, and he grows up pretty much worthless. Pretty much worthless. He's a mama's boy. He's mama's favorite. Does that make him a good boy because mama loves him? You remember that story, don't you? Genesis 27 said that Isaac loved Esau. He was a man's man. But Rebekah loved Jacob. He was a mama's boy. Mama loved him. He must be good. Something good. Maybe mama loved him. No, not so. There are men on death row right now, hardened criminals. Their mothers are still saying, he's still a good boy. But I love him. He's a mama's boy, and he grows up pretty much worthless. And throughout his life, he lies, he cheats, he schemes against everybody to get his way. Doesn't matter who he has to use, he uses and abuses them. He apparently doesn't have a conscience. He lied to his brother. He cheated his own brother. His brother came in. You know the story. His brother came in, was hungry. And he said, you give me your birthright, I'll give you some of this food. What kind of person would do something like that, huh? We know Esau's a profane man because he said, I don't want anything to do with that birthright, that religion. I really don't. You know, you can have it. Just give me something to eat. God said that, but what kind of person would, he's a young man by then, would do that to his flesh and blood? A rotten, no good sinner, that's it. How could he do such a thing? You look back on your life in the past few days, no, just years, and think, how could I have done something like that? As I said, just hours ago. Cheated his brother. He lied to his father. His old father was blind, couldn't see, and he lied to his father to get a blessing out of it. Later on, he schemed against his father-in-law. His father-in-law had put him in charge of the sheep and all, said, you take what? And he made sure that he got the best ones and his father-in-law got the worst ones. How could somebody do something like that? That's Jacob. And later, a whole lot of things came crashing down on him. Brought him very low. His boys, as we said, his boys that he had, his children that were born of him, grew up acting just like him. And they will. That's the reason, truly, our example is important. Nothing we can do about the past, but we can start now, huh? By the grace of God. But anyway, his boys were born and grew up acting just like him, sons of this, of Jacob. Now, I hope you're looking at yourself here. This is every one of us. If you don't think it is, I hope somebody will grab a hold of you this right now, this morning, and show you. We do preach sin, don't we? We do make a lot of sin, don't we? We do. Why? Because we're sinners. He's the God of Jacob. Sinner. Jacob ran away from home. His brother Esau, after he cheated him, he said, I'm gonna get him. Esau said, I'm gonna get that rotten, no good brother of mine. And Jacob ran, left home, scared of his brother. Well, he went out into the world, went far away from his father's house, his mother, and looking for a life. And he fell in love with a girl named Rachel. Who was Rachel? A heathen, unbelieving girl. Living in an idolatrous home. We're going to see, well, I'll just go ahead and tell you. Later on, when they were leaving, Rachel stole her dad's idols. Wanted to keep them. We tend to look at these women, the Lord doesn't say much about them, but they're a bunch of no good sinners too. Rachel, she was an idol worshiper. Didn't want to part with her daddy's gods. Rachel and Leah both were idol worshipers, unbelievers. The Lord had been telling his people all along, don't marry, don't join yourself to them. Well, so he had trouble. Jacob married, he found the girl of his dreams. Ended up marrying her sister. Remember that? Leah. He fooled others, now he was the fool. Well, he ended up marrying both of them. My, my. And Jacob lived in that heathen land for years. He lived there with his two wives and had concubines and had children, child after child after child. And he lived in that heathen land for years. He was not under the sound of the Word of God. He was out from under. They wasn't worshiping God. Laban, where he lived, was an idol worshiper. All right, how many in here have I already told your story? Huh? Out in the world, heathen. Bad marriage. Just nothing but trouble. Not knowing God, not worshiping God. Not caring for God out in the world. Huh? How many? but God. He said, what's this fellow's hope? God said, Jacob have I loved. I've loved before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, by sovereign grace and providence, I'm going to bring you home. You and your wife. You and your heathen woman. My, my. Well, after several years of hard labor with a large family, after several years of hard labor out in the world with a large family, many children, nothing but constant troubles, battles, struggles, troubles, labor, Jacob decides to go home. God makes him restless. I'm leaving. I want to go somewhere. I think I'll go home. Back to Bethel. Anybody know that story? See, this is not going to be the first time the Lord confronts Jacob. He was confronted years ago in a place called Bethel. Years ago, he heard from God. So did many of us as youth. Huh? I could tell the story of old Jacob Wesley. Huh? Wesley, didn't you come here and hear this gospel when you were young? You're gone. Went out and married you a heathen woman. That's right. Right, Rachel? Melly? I could tell the story of old Jacob Stephen Parks. Right? Grew up here. Samuel? Huh? Went out, lickety-split, went and found him a heathen woman down in Tennessee. Anybody from Tennessee? Born heathen. Or Louisiana. Tennessee, there's another one. Huh? I could tell that, can I? Is this your story? Jacob, who, whatever your name is? Jacob Torrance? The Lord, he decided to go home. Who decided? See, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing there is of the Lord. That old Jacob Davis. Old Jacob Davis. My. The whole disposing is of the Lord. God is bringing him back to Bethel again, this time to stay. Chapter 32 now is our story. Chapter 32. He decides to go home, go back to his hometown where his father and mother are. All right? Genesis 32. And his leaving to go home was a horrible, horrible story, a bad departure. His father-in-law Laban, it was a bitter struggle for him to, for Jacob to take Rachel and Leah and leave. There's just everything I'm saying is a story within a story. Don't take my baby. That's what she said. That's what he said, Mary. Don't take my daughter away from me. Mary, you better be glad that God sent a boy down there to get you and bring you here. Are you? Oh, my. The Lord's going to save Rachel, too. I believe Leah. Isn't he merciful? And so it was a horrible departure, a terrible struggle with his in-laws. God always intervened, always resolved things. Every trouble Jacob got into. Go back with me, chapter 28, real quickly. Chapter 28. Everything Jacob got into, the Lord got him out of. Amazingly. Worked in spite of him. Everything, chapter 28. Well, write it down. No, chapter 30. Chapter 30. But the Lord, you see, was working in Jacob's life, not though Jacob didn't know it. God's marvelous providence, mercy, and grace in spite of him. And can you now look back, any of you sons of Jacob, can look back on your life and see what all God spared you from and what all God did in spite of you and for you? And look at, it says in Genesis 30, verse 27, Laban, his father-in-law, said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, stay a little bit, tarry. I've learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for your sake. Oh, my. He said, I gave Ethiopian Seba for that ransom. We'll go back to Genesis 32. Now, here he is. He's going home. God was always looking out for Jacob, protecting him, blessing him in spite of him. Now he's bringing him back home to stay. Verse 1 and 2. Jacob went on his way. He's in the way now. And the angels of God met him. Now, this is a mystery here. But you have to take it as you read it. Jacob saw him. He said, this is God's host. He's coming home. And who met him? God sent some angels. Angels of mercy. Harbingers. Messengers to prepare the way, to remove the stumbling blocks, to bring him home. Angels of mercy. Are you reading this? Huh? Are you getting this? Oh, I think back on, see, some have entertained angels unaware. Think back on some of the angels that God Almighty placed in my path to bring me home. What, that first time that Jacob was in Bethel back in chapter 28, is he said, surely the Lord was in this place, and I knew it not. When I was, Wesley, when you were sitting here as a young man, the Lord was in this place. You didn't know it. He left. There's better things. No, there's not, is there, buddy? You know now, don't you? There's nothing better. Nothing better. But he's confronted. He's confronted by these angels. And, oh my, all of God's people are spoken to, hedged about. They're angels who behold the Heavenly Father's face. Your way has been guarded and guided, and you've been brought. You're one of the Lord's own. He's brought you to himself and sent his angels to give charge over you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Well, if you're a son of Jacob, the Lord Jesus Christ himself is going to find you and wrestle with you through the preaching of the gospel. See, Christ does not come in a bodily presence, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. This right here. Christ said, my sheep hear my voice, but it's not an audible voice, but it's going to be through the preaching of the gospel, and you're going to feel like you've been wrestled with. You're going to feel like somebody has literally got a hold of you and shook you. Did you read with Brother Jacob Wesley, where he kept reading, now hear this, now hear this. So many times he said, you got ears to hear, but you're not hearing. But he's going to have to, oh, like me, that was me, as a young man, finally. It was finally a time when I felt like, I hear message after message after message after message, the prodigal son finally bring me. And then grab a hold of me and say, now hear this. He's talking to me. I'm not talking to him, he's talking to me. Well, Christ is going to have to do that. I can't do it. As much as I'd like to, I would love to grab your children, literally, and say, "Wake up!" That won't do it, though. Won't do it. This bell won't do anything. It makes me feel better. Thank you, Henry. Jesus Christ is going to have to grab hold of them. Prayer is not a thing. Prayer is not, there's no power in prayer. That is simply calling on Him who has all the power. You see? It's not a magical thing. You keep doing it. No, it's calling on Him who has all power to exert that power. Lord, we're powerless to do anything. Would you exert your sovereign power on him or her like you did me? That's what prayer is. Jacob's heading home. He remembers Esau. Remembers what he did. All of a sudden, he's filled with guilt and fear, and he's heading home. He's got to go home. He's coming home. In spite of himself, in spite of his sins, in spite of his fears, in spite of his guilt, he realizes, he remembers what all he did to Esau, and he begins to think, he's still going to get me. And for all he knows, he is Esau. And you know, God begins to bring us to Himself, and we begin to feel guilt and shame over ourselves, our lives, and so forth. Well, Jacob began to send gifts ahead of him to Esau, trying to appease Esau. Here's the whole message in itself. He began to send things to Esau to try to appease his wrath and his anger. He's trying to undo what he did. Trying to bribe his love. He's trying to undo all his rotten past. Here, I'll do this. Here, I'll do that. Here, would you take this? Would you take that? Are you with me? Any sons of Jacob there? I'm going to undo everything. Old Zacchaeus said, if I've defrauded anybody, I'm going to repay it. Well, that's a good thing, but that's not why the Lord is going to save you. He did it for the good pleasure of His own will. That's why. You can't undo it. No matter, try it. Go ahead, try, but that's not it. We're not accepted by God by appeasing His wrath and His anger and trying to do this, try to undo. He can't undo it. It's been done. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Well, verse 6, he's headed home and the messengers returned to Jacob. They came back with these, from the bearing these gifts and said, we came to your brother Esau and he's coming to meet you with 400 men on horses. Now he's really scared. And you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Did you teach that this morning, Mindy, to our young people? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's a false messenger that goes out telling men and women that God loves you. And I don't tell our young people, they'll be all right. God loves you. Huh? That's a liar, isn't it? It's a true messenger that says God is angry with the wicked every day. That it'll be of the Lord's mercies if you're not concerned. True preachers. They're sons of Jacob themselves, he said. Well, Jacob's greatly, verse 7, he's greatly afraid and distressed. He's greatly afraid and distressed. Over what? Himself. Who's he blaming? Who's he got to blame but himself? All my troubles, all my life are because of me. He's distressed. You know, God's going to have to bring you to yourself. Like the prodigal son. This is not a one-time thing. It's a lifetime thing. Jacob by now is about 50-some years old. It's not a one-time thing. Well, God showed me years ago what a sinner I was. No! Today, this gospel, I'm talking about mercy to a son of Jacob. Who's it going to be sweet to? You read the article? Those who have a bitter belly. That's who this gospel is. God, we need to pray constantly. Lord, show me myself so that I realize I'll not presume. Deliver me from presumptuous sins. Presume that, you know, I'm okay. Oh, man. Well, Jacob, he's scared. He's scared to death. He's distressed. He's troubled. He sends his family away. He sends all of them away. And Jacob, it says in verse 24, is left alone. Verse 24, Jacob was left alone. You read it with me? Genesis 32:24. And Jacob was left alone. Why is it that people don't like to be alone? They don't. More prevalent now than ever in this generation is TVs and computers and radios and stereos. And they've got to have something because you've got this thing called a conscience. It's a law of God written on the heart. But they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. You're left alone with your thoughts. This is a good place to be. I mean, for God to bring you. If you're a son of Jacob, if we're sons of Jacob, the Lord is going to bring us to a place where we are all alone. Alone with our own sin, our own troubles, our own worries and fears. No one with you, no one to help you, no one to get you out of this jam that you're in. No one to alleviate you of your fears and so forth. For you to think it all over. And it says, and there, wrestled a man with. Somebody came to his rescue. He's all alone. And somebody came and wrestled with him. Wrestled with him. Bless the Lord. He sent a man. Huh? The God-man. Christ Jesus. God Almighty said this, and in our language, he said, there he is, old Jacob. Old Jacob. Look at it. Like Adam. Remember, Adam, where are you? Look at you. Look what you've done to yourself. There he is, old Jacob, down low, scared, helpless, alone. God says, go, my son. Go, my son, go down there and lay hold of him. Lay hold of him. Wrestle him down. Break his hard heart. Break him of his sin. That old wild ass's colt knees broke. Dead broke. Wrestle him down. Bring him to himself to see what he is. And so this man, who was this man? You know who he is. The Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, who was made flesh and dwelt among us, who came, God of Jacob, came, was made flesh, came down here to wrestle with the likes of us. And it says in verse 24, he wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. So who came to who? Who grabbed hold of who first?
Huh?
The Lord did. Thank God he lays hold of us. Paul said, I'm not yet apprehended. I'm not yet apprehended that for which I have been apprehended. But this I do, he said. I'm wrestling because he laid hold of me. Laid hold of me. And wrestled a man with Jacob. You don't need notes for the rest of this. It says they wrestled a man by when he saw that he prevailed not against Jacob. What does that mean? I can't do anything with him. I can't save him. I can't get. No, that's not what that's saying. We're going to see. He cripples him. This is the one who has power over all flesh, able to subdue everything. But it says what it means here is Jacob started wrestling back. You know, hard shell, hyper Calvinists believe, you know, if you're one of the elect, you're going to be saved. One of the elect to be saved. That's right. That's exactly right. They believe that you didn't have a choice, that God Almighty chose you, and you didn't have a choice in them. That's right. That's exactly right. They believe that you didn't call on him, that he called you, that he called you for it. That's exactly right. They believe you weren't seeking the Lord, you didn't know the Lord, you weren't seeking the Lord, and he was seeking you, and he found you. That's exactly right. And he said, you'll read Ezekiel 36, the whole chapter, it says, I'm going to do this. I shall give you a new heart. I shall wash you. I'll do this. And at the end it says, and I'll be inquired of for this. You're going to ask me to do it. In the sovereign providence of God, he said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If someone doesn't call on the name of the Lord, they'll not be saved. If someone doesn't seek the Lord, seeking me, you shall find me. When you search for me with all your heart. Anybody that doesn't seek the Lord, not going to find the Lord. Anyone that doesn't ask for mercy is not going to get mercy. Now that doesn't mean that the Lord saved them because they called. That is His grace, to make them call. See, we love Him. Yes, we do. Because He first loved us. We call on Him. Why? Because He first called us. It's just proof of the fact. Somebody's not seeking the Lord. I don't know if they're one of the Lord's own or not. How do you know? Seeking the Lord. He's calling on the Lord. How do you know one of the elect? He believes. He confesses. That's how you know. And dies in that faith. Well, Jacob was wrestling back. That's what I quoted from Philippians 2, wasn't it? 3. Philippians 3 said, this one thing I do, Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. I believe I am one of the elect. But that doesn't keep me from pressing. Our Lord said from John, the prophets preached until John, he said, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. This is what Jacob's doing. And he said in verse 26, Jacob said, the angel said, let me go, the day breaketh. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go except you bless me. That, you want a definition of I've forgotten the word, importunity? There it is. Importunity. I will not let you go until the day we die. May God give us the grace to keep wrestling. Huh? If you do, you'll know the Lord didn't wrestle with you. Well, he said, verse 27, the angel said unto him, "What is your name?" He didn't know him? Sure he did. For whom he did foreknow. He knew him. This is his Lord. This is Jacob's Creator. He came to Jacob here. He knows his name. He knows everything about him. Thou, Lord, seest me. You know me. Jacob's got to know who he is. Jacob's got to know who he is. What's your name? What's your name? Confess. You know, when we were kids, I had two older brothers. We wrestled. I never won. I was a baby. They liked to wrestle with me, all right. Get me down, you know. Even my sister did it for a while. Talk about humiliating. But they used to say uncle. You remember that? Get you down. Chinese torture. Say, cry uncle. Why, Mac, what's uncle? What's that mean? I don't know where that came from. But cry uncle. What that means is give up. Can't win, can you? You can't get up, can you? I guess it means cry your uncle. Maybe he'll come help you. Admit it. Back in before, Esau said, his name's Jacob, and that's what he is. Complaining to his dad. He's a usurper. That's exactly what he is. Jacob didn't think so at the time. Now the Lord has him down. Now, who are you? Who are you? What are you? Jacob. Jacob is my name, and Jacob's what I am. Jacob. Sinner. I'm just a sinner. Rotten sinner. No good sinner. Lord, I'm nothing but sin. In my flesh, Bill, no good thing. Oh, wretched man that I am. Sinner. God, be merciful to me. The sinner. Publican, a harlot, a cheat, a no good, an adulterer, a sinner, a thief, a robber, a sinner. That's where the Lord's going to have to bring everybody to. Yes, he does. Sinner is a sacred thing. God said, verse 28, the Lord said as he sat on his chest, thy name shall be no more Jacob. Usurper, cheat, rebel, no good, worthless, useless, vain, dead, dying, worthless sinner. The Prince of God. The child of God. A son of the King. Why? What'd Jacob do? Nothing. Right there. The Lord God frankly, freely, sovereignly, completely, wholly changed his name. He didn't do anything. He was passive. He was being held down. He wasn't passive. He was wrestling, but Lord held him down and said, now here's what I have done. I've changed your name. You're now a sinner saved by grace. You're now a prince with God. You now have power with God and with men and has prevailed. Do you understand the irony here of what the Lord is saying? Huh? Like He says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." About like you say to your children, you know, when they've done something, they made a mess of the whole thing. You say that you've done a good job. Power with God, oh, He exerted His power on you. See, the grace is, yet not I. Paul said, "I labored more abundantly than them all, yet not I, but Christ in me. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God." Christ in you is the hope of glory. Now you have power with God and with men and has prevailed. The Lord made His way smoother anyway, a little smoother. See, the way of the transgressor is hard. Out from under the sound of the word, running around out in the world, seeking this, seeking that. Seek the Lord. "Seek ye first," Christ said, "the kingdom of heaven, all these things be added to you." If you seek first the world and all these things, it's a hard road to hoe. Hard road to hoe. Jacob asked, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." He said, "Why you ask my name?" And He blessed him right there. He blessed him right there. Oh, my Lord, my God, would you grab hold of some son of Jacob in this place and bless him right there, right there. Immediately, change him. Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, face of God. He said, "I've seen God face to face. My life is preserved. I've seen God." Jacob said, "I never was really looking for Him. He came and found me and wrestled me down. And he said, now I've seen Him face to face. The glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He didn't kill me. I see this holy and righteous God against whom I've sinned all my life, never given a thought to, never cared for, fed me, clothed me, watered me, did all these things, provided wives and children and all this for me all the days of my life. Jacob, that's what I am, Jacob. I've sinned against thee and thee only, and now mine eye seeth thee, and you didn't kill me. I stand amazed at the mercy of God to us. Jacob, and you didn't kill me, but you spoke of your servant for a time to come. You changed my name." Do you think Jacob went out of there saying, "I'm a born again Jacob. Don't call me Jacob anymore. Call me Israel. Look at me. I'm a fine." No. Somebody'd ask him his name, he'd say Jacob. Like old Simon Peter. But God changed him. He really did. Not only changed his name, but look at this. It said in verse 32, or verse 31, "Sun rose upon the sun." Are you looking at it? You got to see this. "As he passed over the place of God, the sun rose on him." Would you give me one more hour to preach that verse? "As he passed over where the face of God was, the sun rose on him." Well, how do clouds make you feel? How does rain make you feel? How do these dark days make you feel? Make you feel dark and cloudy and dreary and so forth. But what happened all night long? So David said, "My soul waiteth for thee more than they that watch for the morning." When the sun comes up, Peter wrote, "Until the day star arise in your heart." That's what we need every day, the sun to rise upon us. Go out of there joyful, rejoicing, but halting on your thigh. Verse 31, he left with a limp. During this wrestling match, the Lord, who's much stronger than he, yea, altogether, not only changed his name, but changed his walk. He's not going to be the same man, not in name only, you see. He's not changed in name only, Jeanette. His walk has changed. The rest of his life, he's going to limp. What's that a reminder of? Somebody wrestled with me. He's going to remember. Never going to forget this person. It's something that reminds him of someone. We have this thorn in the flesh, sin. We have this limp. We're running a race. Scripture says run a race. How much progress do we make? How fast can a crippled man run? Would you tell me? You know, he calls us, John, he says, you worm Jacob. Tell me, how fast do worms move? Worm is of the earth, earthy, isn't it? Just crawling along. Jacob, he's going to walk. He's got years more to walk. He's going to walk with God like Enoch. He's going to walk by faith. He's going to walk changed. Not so high and mighty. He's a changed man. Picture regeneration. He's going to realize that he's not strong as he thought he was. Not the man he thought he was. He's walking with a limp, but he's walking. He's walking. And so now his troubles are over. All his troubles. Oh, no. They've really just begun. The next chapter is just wonderful. You got to read it. I'm not going to tell it to you. Read it yourself. Read the rest of the story. But he has trouble. You remember what we read in the beginning? Chapter 47, Jacob comes to the end of his life and says, the days of my life. They bring him into Pharaoh. Old man. Tell me about yourself. What's your name? Jacob. The days of my life have been few and evil. But God. God did it all. Thank God. In spite of. Happy. Where is that? Happy is he that the God of, I told you to commit it to memory. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob to wrestle with him. Okay. Brother Gabe, come up.